Hello, hello, and welcome to the Road Less Traveled. Gary L., Gigi's Boo, and Suspect Sky back with us again. Thank goodness. Yeah, I see. He just entered fake news. Fake news for the win. Yeah, you know, I was happy to see that Adrian made the list. We didn't make the list at Grim Air. We, Real Liberty Media, we have to try harder. We didn't make the list. Oh, well. We'll get there eventually. Hello, Gigi's Boo. How you doing?
I'm doing real well. How about y'all?
We're doing good. Adrian, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you very much for having me again.
Oh, you're always welcome. Happy to have you here. It's always a fun time. But, yeah, what about that? You made the list, and Ben made the list. Man, we didn't make the list. You know, in the snowflake world that we live in, everyone's supposed to get a prize. What's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as we spoke in on private channels, apparently my channel is for a promotional trailer series for an upcoming science fiction TV show that never reached fruition. So
I wonder if we can be put on as producers of that show. What do you think? GT's book.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Now I doubt that. I don't think I could do that.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, they're making it all up anyway, so.
That's right. Why not just throw us in there? I'm okay.
You were talking about all the snowflakes, and I was going to put in there, I need a puppy to pet.
Yeah. What about that?
I need a coloring book and some colors.
Yeah. And everybody gets a medal. I know what. We can make these fake news medals and hand them out to everyone. What do you think about
that? That's right.
I don't know if I want to get that medal.
I don't know. It's a badge of honor these days, it seems like.
Yeah.
Hello, chat room. Asmo, Beth, Cowboy Tech, Grimnir, Moose Girl, Kate, Trust No One, Beetle, Chalcedony, Chloe, two times, Graham Z. Grammy was able to make it. I'm glad you're here. Ibe Don C, twice, Java Doctor. Wanna Taco, Meister Brow, P. Bunyan, Rob Works, Behind a Woodshed, and he said he was still trying to catch up. And Dakota, Frumpy, Gigi's Boo, Jehovah, Kozu, that's a new face. Let me pull this all the way over so I see. Nelson Dubois, got that French sound in there, or Ninson, actually, I'm sorry, Ninson Dubois. Either from some Canada, or maybe France, or maybe Louisiana, Gigi's Boo, what do you think?
I'm saying Louisiana.
RLM 13980. I think that might be Hans. Sock Puppet is in the chat room. Adrian's in the chat room. Suspect Sky and the Phantom knows. The Phantom is in the chat room. Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm. You know, we already made him a therapy dog.
Yeah, Hal. It's fun. It's funny you say that, Hal. We thought of the perfect way to take Atticus everywhere with us. I don't know if I should say this or not, but yeah, let's go ahead and say it. On eBay, you can get service dog, whatever. What do you call those things, Gigi's Boo?
Vest.
A vest, yeah, harness, whatever. And we're thinking, ha, who's going to question that? What do you think, Adrian? Anyone going to question that?
Question what?
If you bought a service dog vest and put it on your dog and took them everywhere with you, you think anyone would question that?
Nah.
They're afraid of the liability.
Yep.
So we're thinking, that we'd take Atticus everywhere.
He would be a good stress relief.
Now, when he wasn't acting up, he'd be a good stress relief.
When he's not being Mr. Boombastic.
Mr. Boombastic. We should play a song. Nah, better not. He might start howling if we play a song. Anyway, Adrian, what's going on?
Well, I'm just loving the point the finger at Russia going on in the chat room right now.
I found a whole bunch of memes that have been generated about that.
Russia did it. You know, who cares what they found if it was even Russia and no evidence has been put in place to say it was Russia. But, you know, I think the greater question is they found a lot of corruption going on in the DNC, and not that I'm a political person at all, but I do hold people accountable. And yeah, I mean, let's just point the finger at the Red Menace once again, like we did in the 1950s, and just kind of shape political opinion. It's bizarre and it's not true, in my opinion.
But. Right. Yeah. There are lots of we're actually working on something along those lines, aren't we?
Yes, and I'm really excited, Gary, and thank you for bringing that up. For those listening, Gary's helping me do a research project on fake news that I hope to release on my channel in the next week or two. or perhaps more than that, but it's going to be kind of an in-depth look at just how the fake news phenomena came out of nowhere and how sort of social media has enabled sort of this counter opposition from the mainstream. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. And thank you, Gary, very much for helping me out with it.
Sure, it's fun and happy to do it. What's most interesting about all this, at least my sense of it, is that no one's really taking this thing seriously that I've seen. Maybe the dyed-in-the-wool hardcore Hillary do or die politicos, it may be taking it seriously, but beyond that, I don't see people taking it seriously.
It's a joke,
and that's got to be a problem for these people. Because it's gotten so now, it's almost like the little boy that cried wolf. He cried wolf long enough, and no one believes him.
That's a great analogy, and I mean, it was really bizarre for Ben and myself to see our channels listed on these fake news, these hoax sites. When I'm just a regular person, you know, who has an opinion about stuff, and I'm exercising my First Amendment rights, and now I'm labeled as fake by these quote authority sites. It was just a bizarre feeling, and it was a little disconcerting, and I don't know, it really made me want to kind of dig a little deeper into the topic.
Sure. But you should probably feel complimented, because that old adage that the flak's heaviest right over the target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Grimner, we have to do something. We have to complain. Who do we write a letter to complain that we're not on the fake news list?
I don't know. Well, Gary, I think we just need to keep producing content. I think that's the only thing we can do, is call them out and just keep talking about it and just saying, like, look, like, we understand the internet now is a regulated service. It's, you know, the Google search results are Google's preferred results are on top. And we just need to hold them accountable for the content that they're producing.
Right. And basically, I think, like we talked about last week, just continue to do what we've been doing, because obviously it works. So, yeah, the poor fellas. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with these psychopaths.
Besides armed resistance? Well, I'm not sure.
No. It's like the old thing about psychopaths. One of their drawbacks, one of their vulnerabilities, is they do not have the ability to perceive long range results. That's a characteristic of a psychopath.
That's a really interesting point. I actually hadn't thought of that, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the reactions that they've had to I would say the proliferation of alternative media has seemed very short-sighted, sort of put out the fires, don't care about the long term. That's an interesting perspective to have.
Well, it's profit-driven, for one thing. The whole thing is, and that's part of the problem, and that's where I don't want to give away too much, but about my thoughts about where perhaps a direction to go. But let's just say that we could probably take this back to the turn of the century in the Federal Reserve Act. Probably can make that connection.
Oh, the Federal Reserve. I don't know if we should get into that yet.
Well, I mean, as far as making the connection to what brought us here to where we are with the fake news.
Oh, yeah. No, I very much dislike the Federal Reserve. So that's a whole hour of itself.
Yeah. As far as making linkages, I think we could probably make that connection. And then you had the attempted coup of President Roosevelt's administration that a lot of people don't know about. Grimner says.
Could you explain that a little bit more? Because I'm not fully versed on that. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
General Smedley Butler, one of the most famous Marine Corps and most highly decorated Marine Corps generals of the time, and I think historically still is the most highly decorated. He retired, and he did a 180 and began to speak openly about the corruption of the military and the fact that every operation that he went on was an operation for corporate interests and big banking. And we're talking back in the late 20s now and early 30s. And as it went along, a group of highly placed corporatists and bankers, as it turned out, contracted him. So he was highly influential with the former military folks. And they contacted him and attempted to have him organize the military veterans in order to overthrow the government in Washington. This was contemporaneous with what was going on in Europe with both the fascists and the Nazis during that time frame. So he went along with the whole thing up to a point, and then he blew the whistle on it. And that information's freely available. He blew the whistle on it, and a lot of these perpetrators fled the country and stayed out of the country until they found out that Congress, after having hearings, decided, well, they really didn't want to look any more into it. So it's an interesting story, and it shows a connection, a consistency. But we can talk more about that.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it's a little piece of history that you don't hear much about.
You don't hear enough about history anymore, in my opinion.
That's the truth.
Well, it's that fake news, doggone it.
Mm-hmm.
Grimner says if they knew about RLM, we would be on the fake news list too. So he doesn't give a shit about your list. I like their list. I want to be on. I don't like being ignored. We go have to write a letter. And Sock Puppet says you already know there's only one way to terminatively handle the issue with government. Yeah. Well.
You're going to be on the fake news list here pretty soon, Gary.
Just so you know. Yeah, if we blow that up about General Butler, they'll be mad about that. Yeah, it's an interesting story in itself. But there again, it shows the banking corporate connections. You know, the fact that Wall Street funded Lenin to go back to Russia. And just all these things, you can kind of draw a line through it all, down to today. And the consolidation of power through the media, the six corporate governing entities of most of your media. You know, it's just been a long, sordid process of consolidating power.
Yeah, if you disagree with the banks and their corporate funded puppets in the government, if you disagree with them, you're going to be labeled fake. And that's not the founder's vision for the country.
Right. No, it was. Go ahead, Brenna. What you got?
I've always said that if you want to know the truth, and now this goes back to finding out about certain things like Gary has said, was talking about, go to the source. Always go to the source. You don't, you dig till you find the source. And that sometimes can be very dangerous.
Yeah, it is. And that's actually part of doing the research is, I mean, that's where I disagree with a lot of people. They'll just dismiss stuff out of hand, maybe because of where they read it, the ultimate. But the ultimate source could actually be valid. And it might not be exactly the story as it was subsequently presented, but the underlying facts could still be very interesting. And so I tend not to throw many sources out, you know, out of hand. If it's an interesting looking story that seems consistent with other things, then I'll tend to look at it and try to track it down to its origin. It's just like that. Oh, I can't remember what the story was now. I just saw it. About the special forces, the NATO special forces, allegedly captured in Aleppo. That's a big story, but the problem with it is I can only find it in the one source. And the original source, Voltaire.org, is typically pretty sound, but a story of that magnitude requires multiple sourcing. You understand where I'm going with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that we're going to cover in our video that we do together is sort of the difference between clickbait sites and analysts sites, people that are just analyzing news stories and theories and opinions and stuff like that and exercising their First Amendment rights. That there is a big difference between I just made up a headline to get clickbait and get some advertising money versus, hey, I'm just a person interested in following these kinds of stories and I have an opinion about them and I'm going to publish that. And fake news seems to cover, unfortunately, a large portion of independent analysis sites.
Sure. And I don't think anyone would argue with that. The problem is that the detractors like to use a broad brush and paint anyone who has a particular tone as being fake news. That tone doesn't necessarily coincide with what the mainstream, so to speak, would like to hear.
Tone is an interesting factor. I hadn't thought about that. That's really interesting. And that makes me think of sites like Prison Planet, InfoWars and stuff. While, who knows where they're going with their stories, but they're not fake. You know, it's just independent analysis.
Right.
How do you label that as being fake? It's not fake. It's just their opinion. Like,
yeah, I think a lot of times a shrill, going back to the tone thing, a shrill tone kind of turns people off, even if the information, underlying information is sound. And I often wonder if that isn't intentional. In other words, to create a physiological dislike for the sound, that way you don't really pay attention to the message.
Gary, I think this video is going to be pretty interesting.
I think it ought to turn a few heads anyway, hopefully. Yeah. I want to try to make it do that.
Yeah. Can't wait to see it. I really can't.
Yeah. On a different note, we don't talk enough about Sundays and RLM. Real Liberty Media, of course, is 24/7. And anyone who wants to tune into the radio player is almost 99.9% assured to hear some content, even at 4 o'clock in the morning in your local time. Mm-hmm. But on Sunday mornings, that's particularly special because at noon o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock in New Mexico time, which is early, that's early for Sunday morning for Grimner. He rolls up, gets his coffee pot on the fire, and starts playing blues. And they turn on a game of Trivial Pursuit in the chat room. So you can come into the chat. You can listen to the blues, conversate, and play Trivial Pursuit. And Brenna, it occurred to me that's very much like an old folks' home. What do you think about that?
No,
we have our Sunday morning bingo.
Yeah, it's no. We're far from.
But I'm just
all folks home, but it's, I know what you were saying.
I'm just
it's
playing.
Kind of funny,
but it's fun. It's fun, and I'll tell you one other thing about RLM. What's it been, 6 or 7 years, Grimner, since you've had the IRC chat up running? And most of the people who started here are still here.
Yep. Might take a little hiatus, but we're still in the loop.
And and over time added a few folks, but the basic group that started with this is still here. And that's pretty that's pretty doggone impressive, actually. Yeah. So as fake news sites go
Been around a long time, huh?
Been here a long time. Oh, it's my mic causing. Let me look at that. Hang on a second. Let me answer that question offline. Okay. Grammy resembles that. Actually, I do too, but that's okay. But it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun, and it's a good way to spend the day.
And Grim can play some good music.
Oh, he's got a playlist that has about 5 million songs on it.
Yeah, great. Great playlist.
Yeah, that's right. And the trivia questions are like, they're like upper crust type, wow, what, you know, what's define the universe and give three examples kind of questions. Mm-hmm. But what else is going on, Adrian?
Well, I just feel a little bit interested in what Brenna was talking about earlier about her experience. You know, I have some unique theories about the visitor hypothesis. Mm-hmm. That I don't know, might lend some weight to kind of her experience. So I don't know, Brenna, if you want to share that or not.
Sure.
Yeah, let me mute my mic and you take it away, Boo Boo Bear.
Okay. Some years ago, in fact, this was before I met Gary, I decided that I was going to stop smoking. Smoking had become just a monkey on my back, just to tell you the truth. I enjoyed it, but I began to have a little wheezing, and I had some other medical problems, so I just lit one up and took a couple drags off of it, put it out, and I said, I'm done. And nobody would believe that of me, because I love to smoke, I guess, as good as anybody that does smoke that's never given it up. And that was on a Tuesday. And I went to see an internist. My doctor, I had seen my family doctor. And he told me, he said, run on down to the internist and let him give you a good going over and make sure everything's okay. He said, I don't see anything, but let's get a good second opinion. So we did, and the internist told me, he said, you're going to have a real rough time. He said, you're going to have withdrawals. And he said, really and truly, we can get people off of dope and alcohol easier than we can nicotine withdrawal. And he said, the reason that being is that nicotine binds with the blood cells for 6 weeks, where everything else can be flushed out of the body, like narcotics and alcohol can be flushed. So I had a rough go on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And that Saturday night, my sister and I went to bed. And excuse me for clearing my throat. We went to bed, and I can remember exactly what time it was. I felt this crushing pressure on my chest, just crushing. I knew that something was trying to smother me, and I was taking my feet and kicking them, and I managed to reach over and get my sister's hand, and I shook her, and I said in a very raspy voice, because I couldn't get any air, plead the blood of Jesus. And she immediately sat up, and she knew, she said she could tell that I was being held down. Nothing was visible. We couldn't see anything. But she did it, and the minute she did it, I felt the weight lift. Even part of the bedclothes moved. We did not hear the bedroom door open, the front door open, the back door open, or close, but we knew it was gone. It was an experience that really rocked me to the core. I was I wasn't so much frightened as I was very confused, could not grasp really what had taken place, knew from my standpoint what had happened, but didn't realize that my sister had actually visualized what she saw. We got through that, and I quit smoking and had, was fine. But it was sometime later that my sister was in the room with me again. She'd been on a date, and she came in, and she came into my bedroom. And my mom always said we acted like a bunch of puppies. We'd slide beds together, and we'd all sleep together, sisters, you know, and talk. But she was laying there, and I was already asleep, and she punched me, and she said, "Brenna." And I said, "Go to sleep." She said, "Brenna, please wake up. Brenna, please wake up." And I said, "I'm awake. What is it?" She said, "Look at the foot of the bed. Do you see anything?" She was just in a very low voice. Three shadow people. And you could feel the bed move when they sat down on it. And it was a little unnerving because at that time we had a waterbed and you could feel it ripple. And she and I were just very still. We could feel the bed sink in. And around one of the shadow people, we saw what appeared to be electricity. Some projectile, not just one little thing. It was the outline of the whole body, and he was the center one, and they were dark shadow people. And she said, "Do you see anything?" I said, "Yes, I do. I do see it." And I mean, if they were shadow people, they didn't try to hide from us like most shadow people that we've talked about. These, we believe, were kind of entities, you know, that maybe they were demons too, like the one that had come in and sat down on me. So they hung around a little bit, and we keep cedar boughs in the house. Cedar to the Cherokee wards off evil. And so I had a cedar bough over taped to the back of our headboard, and I just reached behind it and got the cedar bough, and I brought the cedar bough up. They just backed off and disappeared. And that's about the extent of it. Do your thoughts, Adrian? Anybody else's thoughts?
Yeah, sure. And I've been a long time subscriber to the idea that shadow people, demons, the visitors are ascribed to a greater force that manifests itself in different ways. So that's my own personal belief, that people will see shadow people, they will see demons, they'll see ghosts, they'll see UFOs, all this kind of bizarre phenomena. It is all different manifestations from a single source. And, I find your story very compelling. And shared by a lot of other people as well.
Okay. My mother got on the horn and got our holy man down here. And boy, he went through the house left and right. And so far, we've not had anything what you would say per se evil. As we're just, we'll see something every once in a while. I was telling Gary the other night, I said, "You're not going to believe this, baby. I see something buzzing around my head. It's shadow person," and when I would try to see it, it's really fast. It moves extremely fast, almost like you see some of that on YouTube. You see those things that move really fast in front of the cars or whatever. And I said, "Geez, that thing's going around my head, something terrible, honey." And he said, "Well, it's not messing with us, so we knew we'd be okay." So, I don't know. It was very interesting. My sister, if I could get her to call in, she could really give some insight to that. Graham said that she had something very similar happen not too long ago. It makes you think, doesn't it, Grams? It really does.
Graham, you want to call in and tell us about that?
Yeah. Have her call in, Gary. That'd be really good to hear her. I'd like to hear that.
Okay. Let me drop the Skype address in. Hang on. Go ahead and talk while I do this.
Okay. Like I said, there's things that happened several times. We can feel the bed bump, just like something bumps up against the footboard of the bed. The bed that we sleep on belonged to my great-grandparents. And so might be some history with that, but nothing that really scares us. But we see a lot of things, you know, when people try to explain it as in your imagination and you're crazy, your paranoid schizophrenic. Nah. Buzzer, wrong answer. I'm not that. I'm far from it. But
I thought it was interesting that you described, as you described electrical around one of the entities. And mm-hmm. the first thing that came to my mind, have you ever seen Kirlian photography?
No.
That was a photography technique developed by the Soviets, the Russians, back in the 70s, I think. And you could actually take a photograph of the human aura, and not only the human aura, but of plants, anything living. And the aura itself looks a little bit like what you described, the electrical outline associated mm-hmm. with it. So,
yeah, I found her mention of an aura around the entity to be really, really interesting. And I personally subscribe to the idea that the sort of high strangeness phenomenon that are, you know, experienced by a number of people happen to be manifestations of Type 4 civilizations that have been around for millions of years, and this is how they interact with our society for whatever those purposes might be. And I really like the tie into electrical phenomena just to be really interesting, because I think electrical phenomena might not be as well understood by our current scientists today. And it deserves like a more in-depth look at.
Which is really ironic, because everything relates to either energy, frequency, or vibration. Our senses, all of our senses are driven electrically. And, you know, the fact that science wants to disregard that, you know, that makes no sense to me.
It's kind of the forgotten force. And I think a lot of the high strangeness phenomena observed by many people might fit under that model.
Let me give you for instance about a plant tribe. I've always talked to the plants, to the trees, to the grass, to plants, and I usually can get things to grow when nobody else can. Uh-oh. And my mother had a peace lily, and I was going to divide it for her. So I got outside and I emptied the big container out, because it was sort of root bound. And I thought, instead of putting this whole plant in, I'm going to divide it.
Hello.
Hey, who is this?
Hi. Hi, Grams. That's got to be Grams.
We have a crash.
Yes, it is Grams. Hi, Gigi Boo.
She crashed the party. Ah.
I'm Peachy. Hi, Adrian.
Hey there. How you doing?
I am doing just spiffy.
Tell us your story. Your experience. Tell us your experience.
Well, I've had a lot of them, but one very similar to what you described I had happen. I think it was over the summer, because I was talking about it on the radio show, and Grimmy said that it was like a sleep paralysis kind of thing. So I went and checked out a video on that stuff. And I was just laying in bed, sleeping, and then all of a sudden, I woke up, but I could not open my eyes. And I felt this pressure just holding me down on the bed. And I kind of sort of started freaking a little bit because I thought, why can't I open my eyes and why can't I move?
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to the point where, you know, I couldn't even breathe anymore. I was just stuck to the bed and could mm-hmm. not breathe. And the weirdest thing was my dogs sleep beside the bed and my cats sleep on the bed and none of them moved. They were all just, you know, like they were stone. But I can remember laying there and just really my mind was racing and I was freaking out because I couldn't get my breath. I couldn't open my eyes, nothing. And then all of a sudden I just kind of thought, okay, stop freaking, calm down. Don't let the fear overtake you. And I just in my mind said, I am opening myself up to the source. I'm opening myself up to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I am letting myself go free. And then I just said, no. And I remember hearing myself say no. But that was the first time I could even, you know, any other external kind of input except that pressure on my chest. And as soon as I said no, it was gone.
Yeah.
It was just gone.
Yeah. Yeah. But
it was freaky.
Scary. It really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, most of the time when I have situations like that, it's not really scary. I mean, all my life, I've always had something weird going on. And a lot of times I can remember waking up in the middle of the night and just looking up in the corner of the room and seeing, you know, a glowing orb about the size of a soccer ball.
Wow.
And just seeing it up there and just kind of going, oh, okay. And then going right back to sleep.
But, wow. Now, I've never seen a glowing orb, per se. Saw them in pictures that we've taken here, but never actually saw one.
Adrian, what are your thoughts there? I think you probably have some thoughts on that.
Well, sure, I definitely have some thoughts on that. It reminds me a lot of my aunt, who's about, you know, 60 right now. And she sent me a number of home security films of orbs. And it was just kind of exciting because I was kind of introducing her to the topic of orbs and how they work. And so that was pretty cool to kind of introduce her to it. And it reminds me a lot too. I mean, I've had about three genuine UFO sightings throughout my life. The most prevalent being riding in the car from Pittsburgh to Cleveland and seeing a sparkling red light dipping up and down. That has always stuck with me for a long time, and it's been a lot of the motivation for me to produce my videos. The second one was a silver flashing kind of object hovering over the car while my grandmother and I were driving, and I'm young at this point in time, but it was traveling across the sky while we were driving, and you know, I pointed it out, and my grandmother was kind of dismissive about it, but it was a very odd experience. So yeah, I mean, I think the phenomenon manifests itself in a number of different ways. But again, to me, at least personally, my personal theory is that the phenomena, the visitor kind of hypothesis, manifests itself in a lot of different ways to a lot of different people. And that's what makes it so strange. That high strangeness that we've heard authors talk about. Is that it does deliver itself in different ways to different people. You know, it might be a shadow person sitting on your chest. It might be a sparkling red object in the sky. But to me personally, I think they're all kind of tied to a single source.
What is the possibility that because of the nature of this, of our sensory organs, that we're encountering something that is completely alien to our experience, and our brains are trying to make sense out of it. What do you think about that?
Well, that is really interesting question, because how do we process, let's assume per se that the phenomenon is outside of our normal sensory perception realm. How do our minds make sense of that? They're going to analyze the experience in a way that does make sense to us. That's just the way the mind works. And we've seen that with post-traumatic stress syndrome. We've seen that with anxiety. The mind processes experiences in ways that it can understand, even though it might not be the true experience that has happened to you. I think there might be some static, some disconnect between the experience that you've had, the way that you remember it versus the way that it actually happened. And man, that just opens up a whole new bottle with the Mandela effect, but we don't need to go there right now.
Not yet.
You sparked on something just then. You've talked about the anxiety and the post-traumatic stress and things like that. I'm wondering, because you have had some panic in the back in days gone by, and I have too. I wonder if there is a correlation between these visitations that we have, or these sightings that we see, that could cause the panic. I'm not talking about the fear, how you're scared when something happens. I'm talking about the panic that just comes out of anywhere. Well, that's something we ought to think about,
Well, I personally feel that anxious people, like myself, and like a large number of the population, have a greater acuity and a greater observational skill at looking at the world, just by their very nature. And that causes them to kind of question what they've seen, causes them to observe more of the world around them. So I think I don't think anxiety causes sightings. I think that anxious people are more likely to notice this kind of phenomenon.
What if, and I think we might have touched on this previously, that the process that is going on with a panic attack or anxiety attack, it strikes me that it's very, very similar to what your central nervous system experiences in a nightmare.
No,
I'm talking about the physiological function of it, because you can't control your central nervous system, cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is perceived otherwise, or through a dream. It knows no difference. Your body will react to it. And when you describe what you experience with a panic attack, it sounds very consistent to your central nervous system is reacting to a stimulus that you can't control.
Well, that's been proven, because it's a synapsis in the brain. But I'll take 10 nightmares an hour than one panic attack a week.
Oh yeah, I'm not trying to quantify it. I'm just saying what I'm getting to here is, if you're, as Adrian points out, if you're more sensitive than the average bear, and you pick up on alien input, for lack of a better description, that your brain is trying to process and make sense out of, and your central nervous system reacts to it just like you're, it's a real threat, and not, I don't know exactly how to describe that, but Your central nervous system reacts to it as it would in a horrible nightmare scenario. You don't consciously know the difference between what's real and what's your, what you know, and what's a dream in that particular case. Now, what do you think about that? Hello, I lose.
I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here.
We're here.
I don't have any kind of input on that, because I have panic, and I've had these experiences, and these experiences that I've had, the only thing I could say is they're a piece of cake to what I have had when I've had panic. So I can't correlate between that. I mean, there, you might be right, baby. It might be something, but I just don't, I don't do that. I can't correlate that.
I guess at all. I guess the a difference, you know, one could argue that the difference in a waking state is that, you know, over the development of the human body, we have developed processes that, for example, prevents us from moving when we're sleeping and having a dream. It keeps us from getting up and essentially physically recreating what our brain is experiencing. That's doesn't apply when you're awake. So you can imagine the increased terror that would be created in a waking state to start having a central nervous system reaction. That's like what you do when you have a panic attack. That could be a big difference.
And I can just say from my own experience with anxiety, and you know, Brenna and I think have had a similar kind of experience with the sensation of panic. It's almost difficult to control the feelings that you have towards even very rational thoughts, such as driving to work, being at work, whatever it is. But I do think the sensation of anxiety is an indication of a questioning mind that people in our field have. And whether it's a correlation, whether it's a cause and effect relationship, I'm not sure. But I just know that I've been involved in this field for a long time. And it does cause you to just question things. Which questioning things does produce anxiety. And it takes a while to kind of adapt to that sort of mental state, and to become comfortable with it and to learn how to handle it.
Adrian, have you found that if you can laugh at yourself, it helps? That, I mean, I can think back on some of my panic attacks, and I actually will be telling Gary about it, and I will be hysterical. I mean, if you can laugh at yourself, not all's lost is the way that I look at it.
Well, I will tell you that one way I've dealt with it is watching more comedy. And it does help. And it's not a bad thing either. I mean, you just have a questioning mind, and so do I, and that causes anxiety. And some people are able to more remove themselves from that equation, I think, and look at it more objectively. But sometimes you can't, and sometimes you go down paths that question what the world tells you. God knows I question what Google shows me, and it just causes anxiety. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just our ability to think through it and respond to it in a way that doesn't produce anxiety is kind of the ultimate goal of dealing with a panic disorder.
Do you guys see what?
I don't think I've ever had a panic attack, but maybe that's because I'm just always laughing at myself. But I do have one really quick question for you, Adrian.
Sure.
You were talking about UFO sightings and stuff like that, and one of the most memorable ones that I had was when I was still living out in Colorado. They actually wound up shutting down the drive-in theater at Steamboat Springs because everybody stopped watching the movie to watch the lights dancing in the sky. And we all booed and started throwing popcorn when we saw the jets coming up from NORAD. So have you ever had, you know, it or checked into anything along those lines where there was that? Because I'll bet you there was at least 100 cars at that drive-in theater. And everybody was sitting on the hoods watching the lights.
Sure. And I personally have never had a mass sighting involved, but I followed a number of mass sightings. And I've always kind of prescribed to the idea that if a number of people are seeing it, it's a legitimate sighting. And especially when something that causes, like you said, a movie theater to be shut down, that's a really high indicator that it's not a fake event. And a lot of UFO sightings today get a shadow cast on them because, yeah, you can fake things with video editing software. But when you have a large social group, 100 people at a movie theater, 100 people on a highway, I can just remember a sighting that I put into one of my more recent videos, where there's a large reaction by a large number of people. It really, really adds to the credibility of the sighting. And it takes it out of that realm. Well, maybe this was just faked. Maybe this was just video edited. So I'm actually jealous. That's actually a really exciting sighting. And I wish I could have been there.
You probably weren't born yet, hon.
Oh no, maybe I don't know. No, but that's very cool. I don't know why, but I just thought of the Isetti Ranch and how they kind of promote themselves as being large groups of people witnessing UFO sightings at the same time. That's kind of the purpose. You go to this ranch, you get in a group, and you go and you see some sightings. Because it really removes that seed of doubt that maybe this was a faked event. No, like if you and a number of other people saw it, it was a real sighting. It was something that really happened. Maybe it can be explained through sort of normal hypotheses. Maybe it was a drone or whatever. Or maybe it was ball lightning or whatever. But it takes it out of that category of deliberate hoaxing, which unfortunately the internet has kind of enabled.
Well, this was back in, I believe, 78. And
much to worry about.
Yeah, but it was on like the Denver News and everything that it was kind of cool, though. It was cool. I mean, all of us were having a good time at the theater watching them until they jets came and chased it off.
If you could describe what were the lights doing? I'm just curious. Were they dancing, flashing?
Well, there was one of them that came in initially that just kind of came in and kind of hovered for a little bit and then zipped off really fast. And that's when a couple of people started pointing up at the sky. And then as a couple of them came back and started doing like a little dance around each other, that's when the person that was running the projector shut off the projector. And we were all sitting here watching it going, wow, that is just so cool. And then you could hear the jets before you could actually see them. And as soon as people could see the jets, then there was, I think, 3 lights at that time. By the time you could see the jets coming up over the mountains, those 3 lights just went and just different directions and just gone.
Oh, that is so cool. And Gary, it reminds me a little bit of that Charlotte footage that you found, which I consider to be some of the best ever. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I just think that was a really weird sighting. The fact that it was so overcast, I don't know whether that added to or subtracted from the sighting. Clearly, the length of time that was under observation, that there were a number of witnesses observing it, and the size of the actual size of this thing, I don't think it was a multiple objects. I think it was one object. Is that the sense that you got from it?
I don't know. It was a really bizarre. It was, for anybody that hadn't seen it, it was a field in the sky of arbitrarily flashing objects. It was one of the best sightings I've seen in a long time. And I don't know. It seems like it's a style of sighting that has been around for a while. It even reminds me of you know, what you were talking about earlier. And I think we continue to see it. And who knows? Is it a code? Is it fake? I don't know. But it would take a lot to fake a sighting like that.
It would take the
IBM drone fleet.
A hard time thinking in Charlotte, North Carolina. That no, mm-hmm. I don't think so. And not for that length of time. And no, there's no sound, nothing, and it's just stationary. For the most part, seemed like it moved a little bit, but it wasn't much movement at all.
It's one of the most bizarre sightings I've ever seen, and thank you so much for finding it, because that was very cool.
Okay, Sock has asked a question. I've been bouncing around.
One has to ask oneself, does the attack end when the mind gets right or when the body gets right? And I gave him an example. It was an endless cycle to the mind and mm-hmm. then the body, mm-hmm. et cetera, over and over. Mm-hmm. It's like a spiral.
Well,
unless you can stop one or the other.
And that kind of speaks to my, I guess, hypothesis, for lack of a better description, of the central nervous system perceiving something. Clearly it's operating at a very primal level. Does that sound right, Gigi's Boo?
It does.
And the central nervous system would be directly linked to that. And since the central nervous system can be fooled into making the body react as if there was actually a physical threat, I don't know. I think it's a very unusual thing. We're about out of time, Boo Boo Bear. We got about 60 seconds. What else you got, Grammy? Anything else?
Nothing else.
Well, thanks.
Thank you for letting me come on and, share some of my nuttiness.
Oh, sure. I'm glad you did call in. I mean, that it's always good. Validation is always a good thing. And you certainly validated the experience obviously, if more than one person experiences something, then there's some objective basis for it.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Adrian, what else you got?
Well, I just want to thank Grammy for coming on, too, because to remember a sighting for decades, to me, means it was like a really impactful experience. Most of my sightings happened when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I still remember them 30 years later. It's something that sticks with you, and I just wanted to thank you for sharing that. And the fact that it does stick with you for so long, it means something. You know, it was something that really happened. It was something that was unusual, and something that will probably stay with you forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gigi Spook?
Well, I just... really think this was a great show tonight. It was kind of off the cuff. We talked about a little bit of everything, which I think is great. And I think the more that we do talk about these things, the more we all learn. There's never a stupid question. Always ask questions, you know. And I remember when I was in college, I just worried one of my professors to death because I was constantly asking questions. And he asked me, was I ever going to be satisfied with anything? I said, I'll never quench my thirst for knowledge. I'm not saying I'm a smart person, but I do like to learn things. Gary will tell you that. I'm one of the women that didn't get excited over pearls and diamonds and jewelry, but you can give me a kitchen gadget or sewing machines or cloth, stuff like that. Bam. I'm real happy. He said he loves that about me.
That's right. Makes life interesting. Thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. And thanks, everyone in the chat room. And Sock Puppet, you're very welcome. I'm happy you enjoyed it. And we look forward to seeing you again. And thanks to Adrian. Thanks to Grammy. Thanks to all the chatters. We look forward to seeing you again on the Road Less Traveled. So take care. Cool. Bye-bye.
Love y'all. Big to my heart.